Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Nicodemus asked, and we too ask, how can this be? Things don't make sense. I mean, God, how his kingdom works, faith, doesn't make sense to our reason. It doesn't make sense. Abraham praises the Lord for the promise of an offspring, a nation, and the Christ comes through his family when he has no children. And he journeys on, knowing it will take place, but not how. It doesn't make sense to look at a serpent on a pole and be healed. It doesn't make sense to Nicodemus. How can a man enter again his mother's womb? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Your birth from above, entrance into the kingdom. I mean, your entire Christian identity, water and his word poured over your head, even for babies. You know, a very real danger, even for the strongest, most experienced Christian, we listen too much either to our reason or even other Christian theology and turn faith into a feeling, to my effort, my faithfulness, something that makes sense to me. Instead of relying upon God, scriptural faith, pure gift, what he is doing, has done, and will do for our life and salvation. Think about it. We absolutely have nothing to do with being born. You receive. It happens to you. And all that is asked of a baby when it is born is to breathe and cry and eat and live the life that has been given. So it is with the things of God. There's nothing a man can do to be born from above for faith, all the works of God, by water and spirit. And now what is asked of you is to simply live the life that has been given you. To breathe the word of God, to cry out in prayer, to eat and drink the food our Savior provides for the forgiveness of your sins, to live your life as his. Repent of your selfishness, your sinful talk. Do not listen to one of the worst advice ever, to believe in yourself and fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, infant baptism kind of clarifies the arguments. Jesus says babies can have faith. Abraham would say, God, if you say infants have faith, I believe you gave it to them. Nicodemus would say, how can infants believe if they don't understand? How can this be? You know, unless you have the concrete forms of the means of grace from an altar, font, pulpit, liturgy of the word. I mean, we would then look to meet God with our reason, our feelings. I mean, this is not how Scripture speaks, not what Jesus says, not how God works. You know, and so our strength in temptation, our refuge in trouble, our confidence in doubts are not a feeling we have or what we think. Temptations, trouble, doubts rob us of these things and call into question everything we want to believe. How can this be? His kingdom, from water and spirit of his baptismal work in you, to the bread and wine of his body and blood, to the living voice of his word that speaks and bestows what it says. His word calls things into existence that are not. You know, let me think. Your reason, your feelings will tempt you to believe that God loves you more when you're good than when you sin. It's certainly true. God delights in your good works rather than sends, but it's not the same as his love. If you believe his love for you changes according to your behavior, you're saying that you earn his love by your good works. That his love comes at a price of your obedience or based on your thoughts, not Christ's blood. Repent. Rejoice, our Lord's love is not like our love. Your love for others should imitate the divine love, which demands nothing in return, selfless, giving. And so when Jesus speaks of his death by crucifixion, he draws in the type of his suffering and our salvation from the Old Testament. You heard in the Old Testament lesson, right? Israel complained bitterly against God in the Exodus. After all that they'd seen at God's hand in Egypt, in the Red Sea, 40 years of wandering, his constant care. And they especially complained to God and Moses about manna, bread. You know, what God called his glory from heaven. Yeah, and Jesus had something to say about that too. But God sends poisonous snakes, and those repentant were given healing from their suffering, spared death, looking at another serpent on a pole. Who would desire to look upon the sign of their suffering and death for healing from their suffering and death? How can that be? How does that make sense? You know, ironically, modern medicine has discovered antidotes to many snake bites from snake venom. You know, the same of Moses' serpent on the pole, the antidote to death was the sign of death. You know, counterintuition reigns supreme in this kingdom. Today, Jesus portrays himself as a fulfillment of the serpent in the wilderness. We look upon him, are healed, and live. How can this be? What an ugly picture he paints of himself. How does this make sense? You know, behold, the antidote for your death. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of God, man, be lifted up. Lifted up in glory on a hellish tree stick to cleanse men from the serpent's most deadly poison. Look there. Look with eyes of faith to the agony of grace outside Jerusalem. And there flows the only love the world has ever known. And you cannot stop him from loving you. How can this be? His works to such undeserving, unworthy, unlovable people, the likes of us. Whoever believes in him, the one raised from the death and lives and reigns, will never perish, have eternal life. Whoever promises the Lord, no matter how bad, how despicable, how wrong or mean or stupid or lazy or negligent or resentful or lonely, looks to Christ crucified. Despite your past crimes, he brings forgiveness, healing, spare death. You know, like Nicodemus, we wonder at things, also ask, how can this be? God, how his kingdom works doesn't make sense to our reason. Even God, who still gives his glory and bread from heaven, which Jesus says is his own flesh. Do not marvel at how this happens, says your Lord. Believe it. Risk it all. Our Lord calls his crucifixion his glory how God loves. Thus we see Jesus on the cross, and there is nothing more beautiful to the eye, sacrificed for the sins of the world. This is how God loves. How God has loved you. And the wounds that he bears for all eternity are not reminders of your sin, but of his love, your healing. You belong to him. You, born in baptismal waters from above, by water and spirit. He does all things necessary by baptismal grace that you spend eternity with him. By his love, by faith alone given you, you see the kingdom of God even now. In the name of Jesus, amen.